to the kingdom. Please be blessed as you listen.
Folks, this is a special edition of our normal podcast, and God placed on our heart about 2 weeks ago to do a teaching called The Truth About Drinking and Smoking. Well, I'm always amazed at God. Just recently, He has done exceedingly abundantly in my life in the area of signs, wonders, and miracles, confirming His word over and over, doing miracles, wonders, some of the things that we'll be sharing in on an upcoming sermon and message. But 6 days after we recorded The Truth About Drinking and Smoking, or what the Bible says about drinking and smoking, I was at home during Thanksgiving break. My son and I and the rest of our children were eating breakfast. And there's a man that exclusively teaches on end time prophecy. Some of you may have heard of him. His name is Jack Van Impe. He ministers with his wife, Rex Sella. And I've watched him, I would say, for at least the last 10 to 12 years. He's always talking about end time prophecy. But I've never heard him ever talk about alcohol or any of the things that I talked about 6 days before. Within these last 10 years of watching him, and I've watched him at different points faithfully, off and on, never have heard him speak about this. Well, 6 days after we do the teaching called The Truth About Drinking and Smoking, I turn on Christian television at the very place where he's talking about drinking. He's talking about how his father was delivered from alcoholism. And he begins to use the very same scriptures that I used in the message 6 days before, made almost every point verbatim. And so I wanted you to hear that clip that confirms the message that you are about to hear. This was miraculous to me because, once again, whenever God gives us a different word, we question it. Oh, God, really? And he told me to make sure I put it out before Thanksgiving. And I was like, really, God? I mean, you know, can I just do a nice Thanksgiving message like everybody else? And he said, no. He says, no, deal with drinking and smoking, because that's what got many Christians bound, specifically African-American people, which are the people I've been primarily assigned to. And so when 6 days later I heard this, it blew me away. It confirmed the fact that I was doing exactly what God told me to do. So here is the clip from that program that I heard 6 days after we had already recorded what you're going to hear very shortly.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And one night, my alcoholic father, who claimed to be an atheist, prayed that prayer, and there was a miracle. Now, people go through all the motions, and they'll walk an aisle, and they get a religious exercise rather than experience with God. And Mark 7:6 says, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Listen, when you get converted, God so changes your life that you act differently, live differently, walk differently, smell differently, because you don't hang around the joints anymore. And that's what happened to my father. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all the things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And when you're really saved, you're raised to newness of life. Romans 6:4. Well, the first thing Dad did was, he went down to our cellar, got out the blackberry brandy, the muscatel wine, and all the booze, and said, son, help me, took it to the alley and smashed it. And he said, I'll never drink again. And for years, there was never a drop of liquor that went into his lips. You say, oh, it's all right for a Christian to drink. Not a born again one. Let me tell you something right here. Why did my father get rid of the booze? Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 23, 20. Be not among wine drinkers. Do you hear that? How about Proverbs 23, 31. Look not on the wine when it's red, when it moves itself, fermentation. Now, I want to shock some of you. 132 times the Bible speaks about wine when it's only grape juice, because grape juice was called wine. But God says in the text I just quoted, when your grape juice turns red and ferments, don't look at it. Why? Because we are to bring people to Christ, and woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink. Habakkuk 2:15. Why? You might get him drunk. Now, whether you like this or not, you start drinking, oh, social drinking, and then you get drunk some night. What about it? No drunkard can enter the kingdom of heaven, 1 Corinthians 6:10 and Galatians 5:19. Beware. Satan's clever.
Jack, it's so wonderful, though, isn't it?
And I got saved.
Yeah.
When I saw this great change in my father's life, I wanted what he had. Oh. And I never touched another drop of liquor, which was given to me at the table as a Belgian family for all these years, now over 65 years. I never will touch it again.
Oh, that's so great. Well, it's wonderful to know that God will forgive anything, if we'll just come to him. The Apostle Paul was a murderer. Yeah. Look how God used him. Wonderful to know we can be forgiven.
And Rick Snell, even greater than that, later when we pray, when you ask for forgiveness, you get it. 1 John 1:9. But he also says in Hebrews 8:12 and chapter 10, verse 17, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He not only forgives, but he forgets you ever did it. Man, that's a deal.
Oh, that's something to be thankful for too, isn't it? How we should be thankful for the wonderful forgiveness of God.
Pastors, I know preachers and ministers that struggle with smoking weed. I know pastors, you go to their church, they can preach, they can teach, they're very doctrinally sound, but when you go into their study, it's full of smoke, and people are smoking cigarettes. And so you got a lot of issues going on with pastors who should be able to clarify and teach a clear message about drinking and smoking, but they don't teach a clear message about drinking and smoking because they have a problem with drinking and smoking themselves. So basically what has happened is that the message has in many cases been changed because of the lifestyle of the messenger. I'm a fornicator, so then I preach light on sexual sin. I give people all the loopholes about how it's okay. Sometime we fall down, but we get up, and that's my favorite sermon, that's my favorite song to sing every Sunday, and I stress the grace of God and the forgiveness of God, but I never talk about the holiness of God. If I like to have beer every now and then, and I'm a pastor, then I preach about how Jesus, of course, turned water into wine. So we're going to talk about tonight and how Paul told Timothy to have a little wine for a stomach's sake.
But today we pray that through this teaching we'll be thorough enough to leave no stone unturned. We're not going to skate around the issue of whether it's okay biblically to drink or not. We're going to answer the question tonight of whether it's a sin to drink or to smoke. By the time you leave out here tonight, if you've had any questions about drinking and smoking and it being a sin, then tonight, after this message, we're not going to have any questions about drinking and smoking being a sin. Okay? So, of course, we're going to get in the Bible. Okay? Y'all ready to do that? Y'all ready to know? How many of y'all want to know tonight the answer to these questions? Okay. Just one person? How many people? Anybody want to know? Has the question ever come up? Has the topic ever came up, right? We've heard Christians talk about this and debate about this. We've talked about it several times ourselves and debated it with Christians. And so tonight, hopefully, we're gonna answer all questions and leave no stone unturned. Okay. Wrong or right, let me say this. Anything that you want to know can generally be found out and established in the Word of God. Wrong or right, there are no 50 shades of gray. We try to create that type of situation in the church with Christianity so many times, but there are no gray areas as it pertains to wrong or right. Okay? If you got your Bibles, let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. And I'm excited about this message because this teaching tonight, I actually dreamt in my sleep about some of the points that we're going to talk about tonight. And so I just believe that God has an agenda in us teaching this tonight. 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay. If you got it, say amen. All right. 2 Timothy 3:16. First thing you got to understand is that for the Christian and everybody else, right and wrong is established by the Word of God. For the Christian and everybody else, right and wrong is established by the Word of God. Morally, in our schools, and in our laws, they've tried to take the Bible out of what's right and wrong. My question to them is, how can you put a man in jail for stealing and you've taken all the evidence of why stealing is wrong? Why is stealing wrong? Well, because we say it's wrong. Well, then if you say it's wrong today, you can say it's right tomorrow. They've removed the standard, which is the Bible, the Ten Commandments. And so we got to understand that if we want to know if something is right or wrong, we should look in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and correction. Okay? So One of the first things that this scripture points out to me is that all scripture is profitable for something. Okay, for instance, there's not a scripture in the Bible that's in there for nothing. There are scriptures we like to skip over in the Bible. There are certain things that we say are boring, that we say, oh, I don't want to read that part. Even down to the begats. Who begat who? Who was whose son? All those details. They're in there for a reason, and all scripture is profitable. And I guarantee you, in my preaching over almost 30-something years, I've used the begats in my preaching, and it meant something. Even those things that we think don't mean anything, even the shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept, it's all profitable. Okay? So, it says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That's what I want to get tonight. Instruction in righteousness. Okay? Instruction in righteousness just means right instruction. How do I know what's right? The Word of God is going to tell me. How do I establish what's right and wrong? I establish it in the Word of God. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things and hold fast to what is good. So when you're trying to find out if something right or wrong, you prove it. I'm going to prove it tonight that smoking and drinking is not for Christians. Okay, I'm going to prove it tonight. Now, when you get ready to prove something, in the Bible, there's a scripture that says line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible builds upon itself. Principles build on top of other principles. The Bible will not contradict itself. And there are times when it may seem the Bible contradicts itself, but the scripture that you think is contradictory is really under another principle. But all of the principles of God coincide, coexist, live together. For instance, when we talk about the Trinity. Now the Bible says, of course, that our God is one, right? God is one. But then the Bible talks about God saying, let us make man. It talks about baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It talks about the Godhead. Alright? So, on one sense, it looks like, okay, the Bible said God is one, and then it said God is three. Which one is it? Well, it's three in one. So, one concept builds upon another. And here's the other thing you got to understand. When the Bible teaches something, it doesn't teach all the components at one time. The scripture that says God is one doesn't come back and say, but there's three personalities in God. You don't find that out till maybe another passage. Now, one of the things that has happened in the body of Christ, where as it pertains to drinking, is that people have tried to prove that drinking was appropriate based on one scripture. Okay? And we're going to look at that scripture tonight. Okay? Typically, if you're going to prove something in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 13:1, you can write this down. It says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So if you're trying to establish a principle of God, you need to find at least two or three scriptures that back up what you're trying to say. All right. Now, as we deal with drinking, let's go to drinking first. And here's the thing. The first scripture I'm going to take y'all to, if I could just get y'all to believe this, we could end tonight with this scripture. Because this scripture really takes all the gray area out of Christianity. Okay? Turn to 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15. Somebody read it for me. Okay, so love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, y'all, this is a heavy scripture. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. It says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In my version, and I don't know exactly which version this is, it says, stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. Verse 16. For the world offers only the lust for physical pleasures, the lust for everything we see, the pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father. They are from this evil world. The world is fading away along with everything it craves. Everybody say craves. That's a hint right there. But if you do the will of the Father, you will live forever. First thing I want to tell you about drinking or smoking. It's just an easy test. Drinking and smoking. Let's go down the list. Is drinking and smoking more likely to happen at a church revival or at a club? At the club. Club of the world or of God? The world. The world, okay. Drinking and smoking. Is it more likely to happen at a boxing match or at a healing service? Boxing match. Drinking and smoking. Is it more likely to happen in a casino or in a prayer room? I mean, y'all, it's not rocket science. When you go into worldly atmospheres, the first thing that's going to meet you at the door is drinking and smoking. You go to the bar, you go to happy hour. I was at work today, somebody say, is it happy hour yet? What do you think they're going to be doing? They're going to happy hour. They're going to bring out the Bibles, start having a Bible study. What are they going to be doing? They're going to be drinking and smoking. Right? You go to a strip club. What you think they're going to be doing in there? Drinking and smoking. Smoking and drinking. Huh? You go to the club. Smoking and drinking. Drinking and smoking. Huh? You go to a house party. Right? Supposedly over 18. Frat party. College party. What they're going to be doing? Drinking and smoking. And they ain't gonna just be smoking cigarettes either. We know that. Juneteenth Festival up on the hill, Herman Park, whatever. What they got them coolers for? They just got Sprites and Cokes. Huh? When they start playing the blues. Huh? What they gonna break out? Huh? They're gonna bring out the drinks and the smokes. Right? So we already know whose camp is coming from. It doesn't come from God. Most godly people I know over the years, I've been saved since I was 7, I never met a godly person that was drinking and smoking. Never met nobody that was walking around healing people, had the anointing to raise the dead and give sight to the blind. That, you know, never just go back in the study and they drinking and smoking. You know, don't hang out with folk full of God and, you know, every 10 minutes they tell me, can I get a light? Because they lighting up a cigarette. So we already know whose camp it comes out of. Right? Let me make a little bit of plain here, y'all. Let me see. So we in church right now. And other places, we don't get surprised. But if I broke out, we can end our discussion. If I was up here drinking my Coors Light right here, in between the Bible verses, what would y'all think? I'm going to hell. Something's wrong with him. He playing with God. He a hypocrite. In between the drinking and the scriptures, I stop every few minutes and ask somebody to give me a light. Because I'm smoking a cigarette and drinking and reading my Bible at the same time. Y'all remember this dude who used to come on TV do that? He'd smoke a cigarette and commentate on the Bible. Yeah. He called himself Dr. Something. I forgot his name. Oh, okay. Old white dude. You remember him? Yeah. We drinking and smoking. Preaching the Bible. Right? What would y'all think of me? Huh? Okay, so for the pastor and the preacher, we can't drink and smoke, but other Christians can. It's okay. It's just what they struggle with. God ain't doing it. What Steve Harvey say? Huh? Don't trip. God ain't doing me. Please be patient with me. God ain't doing me yet. If I was taking a drink, I got through preaching, and instead of my orange juice, it's gin and juice on the table. What would y'all think of me? Huh? No, nobody would agree with that. But how come so many Christians try to justify this stuff? Let's get in the Word, okay? So we can just stop right there. Love not the world, neither things of the world. You know, any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Let's see what camp alcohol comes from. Once again, statistics. Research has shown that alcoholism plays a major role in aggression, with as many as 40% of all aggressive domestic violence, murders, 40% of all aggressive incidents involve alcohol. Yeah, that could possibly come from the church. This is God wanting us to drink alcohol. 22% of police time is spent on cases involving alcohol, such as violence on the street and domestic violence while under the influence. Employers also suffer due to their employees and alcohol problems. Approximately 13% of all employees' sick days are alcohol related. Yeah, I can see how alcohol and drinking could be a part of God's plan. Today's stats show that nearly 2 million Americans suffer from alcohol-related liver disease. Cirrhosis of the liver affects nearly 20% of all heavy drinkers and alcoholics. Alcoholics are 10 times more likely to develop infection, cancer, and problems with the platelets and blood clotting. Recent data shows that nearly 40% of all traffic-related deaths, 40%, listen to this, of all automobile traffic-related deaths are linked to alcohol. Alcoholism, statistics on drunk driving shows that drinking and driving results in one injury every minute and one death every 32 minutes. So by the time we finish our time here in Bible study, two people would have died in the United States because somebody was drunk and driving. Drunk drivers are costing the United States approximately $50 billion every year. Okay? So when I talk about drinking, okay, let me define what I'm talking about. I'm talking about beer, or beer, as they say in Dallas. Alcoholic wine. I say alcoholic wine because that's non-alcoholic wine. Liquor, malt liquor, wine coolers, mixed drinks including daiquiris, margaritas, all alcoholic happy hour beverages. Anything that you have to show your ID to buy and drink is what I'm talking about. Okay? That's drinking. If you got to show that you 18 or what, 21? Was it 21? You got to show that you 21, then that's what I'm talking about. To drink it, to buy it, that's what I'm talking about. Alright? Number one, if you're writing, write this down. Christians shouldn't drink because, number one, it's worldly and it kills their witness. I just proved it to you. If I'm up here drinking, now, no, nobody have a problem if I had a bottle of water up here, right? A Zorka. Nobody have a problem even if I put a little flavor on it, had a little Powerade up here drinking. Like, oh, Pastor Ronnie must be a little dehydrated. He's drinking some Gatorade. But if I pulled out the Seagram 7, you might have a little problem with me drinking that while I'm preaching. It will ruin my credibility. Right? Okay. If you're a Christian and you drink and people see you drinking, it's ruining your witness. Romans 12:1. Write these scriptures down because I got to go quickly. I'm running out of time. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If worldly people are doing it, if the crowd at work is doing it, if everybody's doing it, generally we talked about this not long ago, follow the crowd, not the crowd. If everybody's drinking, then that's probably something you ain't supposed to be doing. It's worldly, number one. And it ruins your witness. And I'm going to tell you, when you ruin your witness with people, you can't go back and try to witness to them. It's done for them. You might well find you some more people. I know people try to, girls, and I'm trying to harp on women, but this is typical of women in the church. They sleeping with a dude that's not their husband. Sleeping with them, falling in sin, and then talking about, but why you won't go to church? Living with them. He might go to church, he probably ain't going to go to your church. They like, man, look at you. You cannot witness to somebody that you have totally burnt your witness to. You burnt the influence. They done seen you drinking and smoking. 5 minutes ago, Tamisha, you cussed everybody out in your class, and And then 10 minutes later, you trying to say, but y'all need to give y'all life to Jesus. And I done seen that. I done literally seen that happen. I done seen that. Black people are notorious for that. Because everybody out there ended with, that's why y'all, you know what? I'm sorry. You know, y'all, you know, God ain't through me. That y'all just need Jesus because everybody out in the store. I'm going to pray for y'all. You ever heard this? I'm going to pray for y'all. You know what? Y'all just be blessed. I didn't cuss everybody out. Nobody listening to that. Right? You don't ruin your witness. And that's why it's so crucial for us to talk about this stuff. You're a baby Christian. You need to learn this stuff. Alright? There are people I did sin with in the world. When I was in the world, I don't try to witness to them. They probably see me or hear me now, see my name on the internet or go to my website now and be like, that's a job time preacher. I couldn't follow. Because when I was supposed to be a preacher, I was sinning with them. Ain't nothing I can do but pray for them. That's why your witness is so important. Alright? So number one, Christians shouldn't dream because this worldly kills their witness. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Write that scripture down. Abstain from all appearance of evil. If it look like, and y'all, there are certain things I won't even buy if I'm in a restaurant. Certain things, I mean, even like a Virgin Daiquiri or Virgin Margarita. Number one, why I'm going to spend $6 for a slushy, basically what it is, with alcohol in it? Because you know they're going to upcharge it, and they ain't going to take the charge down, Cecile, because they haven't put the alcohol in it. It's going to be the same price. So I'm going to pay $6 for something, you know, oh, it's a Virgin Daiquiri. Well, if you got to explain it, don't buy it in public, please. Because somebody might see me with a glass, Super Dave, with salt all around the rim, and they're going to say, Pastor Randall was in there drinking. They never asked me, was it a virgin or not? But we do these things, why? Worldliness. There's certain teas and stuff you can buy that look like beer. And they ain't beer, but they look, they come in a beer-looking bottle. Very popular among the young people. Why? Because they want to look older and grown. When I was growing up, they had little cigarettes that was gum, you know. I remember that? You just blow the thing, little powder come out. Huh? Yeah. Wasn't real cigarettes, but we wanted to look like we were smoking cigarettes. The Bible says don't do that. It says abstain from even the very appearance of evil. Once again, back to the girls and the guys too, because they wear their pants down. That's why what you wear does matter. God, you know, man looks on the outer appearance. God looks at the heart. That's right. So it's going to be a bunch of men looking at your appearance, sisters. You need to make sure your appearance is straight. Because they can't see your heart, but they can see your butt when it's hanging out of your pants. Somebody needs to say amen to that. Mm-hmm. Matthew 5:13 says, you're salt. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing. Once again, when you have lost your witness with people, you're good. God can't use you with them. You're good for nothing. Ain't nobody gonna listen to you. And here's the problem, Langer, with witnessing. We're in a whole campaign about witnessing. Now, one of the reasons why y'all don't want to witness, one of the reasons why people don't want to witness to people, because they can't. They've lost their influence. How you going to tell the same people you sinning with about Jesus? Alright? So it says if you lost your influence, look at what Jesus said. You're good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under men's foot. People gonna take you like a joke. You're gonna be a zero. Ain't nobody gonna listen to you. That's why all the church is turning to politics for influence. Because the world takes us as a joke. Because all our pastors is putting their hands inside little boys' pants and messing with the little girls and homosexuals and all this stuff. And they keep blowing it up. As soon as a pastor falls, they make sure they put that in the news. Why? To kill our influence. That's why you shouldn't drink or smoke. Kill your influence. Listen to this. Number two, the Bible says that drinks are addicting and that they mock you. They make you look foolish. Look at Proverbs 20 and 11. Let's go there. Proverbs 20 and 1. I'm sorry. Proverbs 20 verse 1. Anybody getting something out of this? Proverbs 20 verse 1. If you're sitting by a young Christian, help them find it if they can't find it. Right, you find it first and help them. Proverbs 21 verse 1. And I love teachings like this. You know why? This teaching came out of a baby Christian's question to me. See, when you got baby Christians, when you evangelizing and getting folks saved, you got baby Christians around you, and they ain't asking no question about the Illuminati, but they want to know, okay, I'm smoking cigarettes now. Is this wrong or right? I'm thinking about getting a tattoo. Is this wrong or right? I'm a man thinking about getting my tongue pierced. Is this wrong or right? I'm a girl thinking about getting my tongue pierced. Is this wrong or right? So once again, almost every once a month, we're going to do the truth about something for the baby Christians. So today we're doing the truth about drinking and smoking. Next time we might do the truth about using profanity. Truth about tattoos and piercings. Whatever. But these are baby Christian, new Christian stuff that people need to know. That I never hear talk. And that's one of the reasons why people are so confused. Because ain't nobody talking about it. When they talk about it, they kind of skate over real quick to see why. Because they don't want to offend people. Okay. Proverbs 20 and 1. It says, somebody read that. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging.
And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That wine deceives you. Let me say this before we even get into the Jesus turned water into wine thing. There are two types of wine that the Bible talks about. One is fermented and one is not. The Bible calls anything that comes out of a grape wine. You never hear grape juice in the Bible, but grape juice was in the Bible. They call grape juice wine, and then they call the fermented wine that make you drunk wine as well. Okay, two different words. Many times, sometimes it's the same word in the Greek or the Hebrew, but in the context, that's how you knew whether it was intoxicating wine or the grape juice wine. All right. Okay. Number three, the reason why you need to stay away from drinking, Christian people, is because drinking leads to sexual sins. I'm going to say that again. Drinking leads to sexual sins. Ask any boy in college. Drinking leads to sex. Get up drunk, and you're going to get some. Drinking leads to sexual sins. All right. It's quiet on that one. Several times in the Bible, people got drunk and got into sexual sin. Noah, as soon as he gets off the ark, he gets drunk. And his son, Ham, comes in and sees him naked. He's floating around naked and he's drunk. And there's a sexual connotation to it because
Ham is cursed and all those things that start to happen. Lot is saved from Sodom and Gomorrah, runs to a little town. His daughters get him drunk and they commit incest. One of the reasons why there's so much child molestation and incest in homes stems from drinking, people getting drunk. Now, whether it's true or not, I didn't know whose bed I was in. They use it as an excuse. I was so drunk, I thought it was my wife, but it was my daughter. Bro, you ain't that drunk. These things happen. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. Okay. So, Christians should stay away from drinking because it leads to sexual sin. Look at Habakkuk 2:15. Habakkuk 2:15. I want us to see this one. I was speaking to a colleague of mine, and we were talking about some of the trends on the street, some of the things that are happening in the hood with our young people, our young women, our young men. And one of the things she shared with me, we were talking about the STD rate, and of course, we just did an article not long ago about how 50% of black women between the age of 14 and 48 has herpes, which is crazy to me. 50% of black women between the ages of 14 and 48, yeah, teenage girls, I know y'all want to hear this. Listen. 50% of black women between 14 and 48 have herpes. Unbelievable. But one of the things she was sharing with me about the reason for STDs, the rise in STDs among African Americans as well as other young groups, is because of this drinking. People get drunk at parties, and I know we got some young people in there, and you know, some of y'all can graduate, go out to college and all that stuff. Man, ain't no Christian person belong at no party, no club. I'm telling you. I done seen too many girls get messed up. Slipping Mickey's in your drink. Slipping alcohol up on, in the punch, Everclear. Everybody getting drunk. Then they put something else in your drink besides the alcohol. Man, you passed out. Girls get gang rape, date rape, all kind of stuff. Pregnant. These girls on Jerry Springer, Mark Povich, I guarantee you, the ones that don't know, I mean, 20 youths, he's not the one. I guarantee you investigate them, they drink. And they get drunk. That's why they don't know who the baby's daddy is. They go to a party and 5-6 dudes have sex with them. That's why they don't know who gave them the disease. Where they got the herpes from. Where they got chlamydia from. They was drunk. Everybody turn that back to 2:15. I'm going to read this one. Woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink and put the bottle to him and maketh him drunken also that he may as look on the nakedness. Listen, Old Testament. They was doing it back then. It ain't nothing new. The Bible says that this person is cursed. So also, brother, if you want them brothers that get the girl pregnant so you can have sex with them, the Bible says, woe unto you. Woe, you're cursed. It's not going to turn out good for you either. You slipping Mickey's into the drinks and stuff? The Bible says you are cursed. And one curse is if you get found out, your tail going to jail. Look at it. And here's a little perversion to it. Because guess what it says? woe to him that giveth his neighbor, so that's a male, and put thy bottle to him. Oh, so the person you giving the drink to is a male, that you may look on his nakedness. So that's some homosexual perversion. And a footnote, the way that a lot of people get turned out into homosexuality is through alcohol and drugs. Get drunk and then you wake up and then some girl talking about, oh, it was good, and you a girl. Oh, what happened?